I'm grateful to introduce to you, I consider a dear friend, but also a mentor, Brother Gary Ledbetter and his wife, Linda, are here with us. They were here speaking at the banquet last night, did a phenomenal job. It was very encouraging. In fact, I may ask your permission, Brother Gary, to reteach or re-preach that at another time. What a great outline and just a reminder of what love really is for the Christian and what that looks like. And then this morning's Sunday school lesson on the power of our words. Very helpful, very much. And I believe this morning you're going to be blessed. And so let's give our just undivided attention to God's Word. And may God have His way in our hearts and lives. Brother Gary, you come. And let's give them a warm welcome this morning. Thank you for being here. Brother Gary, thank you so much, brother. Love you, brother. Appreciate
you too.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here at Crooked Creek Baptist Church. I'll tell you, if we lived in this area, this would be the church we'd be coming to right here. And I feel real at home with you folks, even though it's the first time. I've prayed many times for your pastor. I've known him many years. He was a counselor at the Anchorage camp in Lake Waccamaw. I'm on the board of that camp, and I'd met him. And then at Ambassador Baptist College, when I spoke several times there, we had an opportunity to meet. And then supported he and his wife as they went on the mission field. Our church supported them. And so it's been a blessing now, not only to pray for these folks, but be here with you today. What a joy it is to be here today. Now, Brother Brinson, you mentioned all the things in my background, you know, that I have had a pastor in 42 years, but you never told them that I'd been a notary one time. I was a notary one time. That was not something you didn't mention at all. No, you didn't mention that at all. Amen. What a joy to be here. I want to speak today on Ephesians chapter 4. So if you'll take your Bible, please turn with me, Ephesians chapter 4. Before we begin, let's pray. Father, we need you. God, we pray that today, that if you point out something that we need to be doing in obedience to you, I pray that by the grace of God, we'd be willing to do it. And I pray that, Lord, in this, I pray that you'd fill me with the Spirit of God. I pray, God, today that you would take the Word of God today by the Spirit of God, and would you make us more like the Son of God. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 1972, last time I ever went to a movie theater, I went, by the way, I think Lynn and I were talking about this, our spouses passed away, and Linda was married 39 years. Her husband passed away in Sweetwater, Tennessee, and my wife passed away in Irmo, Columbia, South Carolina. We ended up moving to a year apart from each other to Rock Hill. That's where we live now, below Charlotte, and end up meeting each other in church. Harvest Baptist Church is our church. I did not meet her on eHarmony. I met her at eHarvest, eHarvest.com. And we met in church and been married 12 and a half years. And my first wife, when I was dating her, I met her at Winthrop. I'm a Clemson grad. You can pray for me here in this Georgia country. I've got some great friends that are graduates of the University of Georgia, but I graduated from Clemson in civil engineering, got saved in my dorm room 55 years ago, January 29th this year, 55 years ago, saved at 20 years of age as a civil engineering student, and thank the Lord for that. Thank God for him, his forgiveness and his working in my life. But I took my lady Linda that I ended, I'm not Linda, but Barbara that I was dating at the time, and we married in 1974. But in 1972, we went to the movie theater. We were talking about it the other day. There were dollar movies back in those days. How many of you remember dollar movies? Okay, dollar two. Today, it cost you an arm and two legs to be able to go, and most of it's not worth going for. So, but I went to see a movie by Ally McGraw. Was in the movie. It was called Love Story. And in that movie, there was a line in that movie, I think it was put out in 1970, we saw it in 1972, that said, love means never having to say that you're sorry. We have a Greek word for that. Hogwash. That's what it is. That doesn't mean a thing. Love means saying you're willing to be sorry and say I'm sorry over and over and over again in relationships with other people. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 31, says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted. Notice this next word. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's the way we're supposed to forgive one another. A couple goes into the pastor's office for counseling, and she said, preacher, and she reached in her pocketbook and she grabbed a long list. She had a big notebook full, and she grabbed a long list, and she said, ever since the honeymoon, I have kept a list of everything my husband has done wrong. We've been married 10 years. He looked at the list. He even had there where he didn't take the trash out. And I mean, all kinds of things on that list. And the pastor spoke to them on this text, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And they said to each other, you need to be willing to forgive one another. And the pastor said, I'm going to keep this list. She said, no, I want it. That's my only copy. Love doesn't keep a list. It doesn't keep a list. My wife that passed away was from Lexington, South Carolina, near Columbia. And in 2015, a young man by the name of Dylan Roof from Lexington, very troubled young man, went down to Charleston, South Carolina to Emmanuel AME Church on a Wednesday night. He had a pistol in a bag that he took. And he went into that church for a Bible study on a Wednesday night, sat through the Bible study. After the Bible study was over, just at the end of it, he stood up and took that pistol and fired 9 shots, killed the pastor and 8 other people. Emmanuel Baptist Church, downtown Charleston, South Carolina. 2 days later, at the arraignment, some of the members of the church at Emmanuel AME Church showed up at the arraignment. Some of you remember this story. For at that arraignment, 2 days later, some of those members stood to a mic and said, we want you to know, Dylan, we forgive you. Oh, we forgive you. Even one of the wives of a man who had been shot and killed. As God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. The Apostle Paul was holding the garments of some men who were stoning Stephen in the book of Acts. And Stephen, some of the last words that he spoke, he said, lay not this sin to their charge. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 23 is hanging on the cross. There's 7 sayings that he made from the cross. And one of them, one of those sayings is he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He wasn't saying, now, all of you are automatically going to heaven now. But Jesus showed us, and Stephen showed us, and the folks from Emmanuel AME Church showed us, you and I ought to be leaning forward toward forgiveness. Kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. in Matthew chapter 6, our pastor, who's the speaker at the Wiles that first week? Do you know? Joe Fant. You don't know who it is? Okay. Joe Fant is speaking at the Wiles one of the weeks early in June. His brother is our pastor, Marshall Fant. He spoke the other Sunday night on this text, Matthew chapter 6. He called it a deep dive into the Lord's Prayer. Look with me at Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. After this manner, Jesus speaking, he said, "Therefore, pray ye." It doesn't mean you have to pray these same words, but this is a model prayer. I think the Lord's Prayer is actually in John 17, the high priestly prayer of our Lord. But this is the model prayer. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread," and notice verse 12, "and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Or in Luke it says, "trespasses." I want you, Lord, to forgive us just like we're forgiving others. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And notice the next verse. He said, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." What a statement. Erica Kirk, a few months ago, when her husband Charlie Kirk was killed, she stood up and said, "I forgive you. I forgive you." Paul was in prison in Rome, and he wrote to a man by the name of Philemon. Just a little book in our New Testament, just one chapter. He wrote to him, he's writing about a runaway slave that had come down to Rome. Paul was in house arrest so he could receive people in there, and he was witnessing to all kind of folks, including the guards in the prison with him. Evidently, he had led this man by the name of Onesimus to Christ. He led this fellow to Christ who was a runaway slave. He had stolen some things, it seemed to be, property maybe that the slave had stolen before he left the house of his master, Philemon. But in that little book, Philemon, Paul said to Philemon about Onesimus, "Receive him. I want you to receive him. He's more than a slave. He's now a brother, a Christian brother. He's profitable to me and to you." And then verse 18 of the book of Philemon, Paul said to Philemon about Onesimus, he said, "If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account." Put that on my account. Did you know that's exactly what Jesus did for you and me? Yes. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The great exchange. He took my sin and gave me His righteousness, His robes of righteousness. I tell you what, that'd make a Presbyterian shout right there, buddy. Brother Benson, we might be able to raise both hands in that one. I'm going to tell you what. We can raise both hands in that one. If he owes you anything, put that on my account. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. God is all about forgiveness. Asking and seeking forgiveness and giving forgiveness. It ought to be an everyday way of life in our home, in our relationships, with our spouse, with our children, in our neighborhood, in our workplace, in our school, and in the church. It ought to be a way of life. Is it hard? Yes. Grace needed? Absolutely. Absolutely. My children, all of our children, Linda has 4, I have 3. There's 21 grandchildren. Each of those 7 children of ours are married. 21 grandchildren, 6 of those are married. There's the 6 great-grandchild on the way. We shop at Dollar Tree. But there have been times, I was telling Brother Dan and Sister Edie, that a few years ago, Linda had never been to the Grand Canyon. My wife and I had set a goal to go to all 50 states, and we'd been to all 50 states. Those of you that have been around me at all know that I've been 51 states. I'm in the state of confusion most of the time now. But we flew out to Arizona, went to Eager, Arizona, the Grand View Camp. My youngest son had met his now wife, and they have 5 children, but they met while they were counselors out there at Grand View. And another one of my sons, who's assistant pastor at University Baptist Church at Clemson, and an Air Force major in the Air Force Reserve as a chaplain in the Air Force Reserve, he was out there. And so we were walking around the camp, and God had laid it upon my heart. I mean, there had been times that I had just bolted out in anger against the kids in the past. There's times we need to speak truth and do it in love. Sometimes it wasn't in love. And we were walking around the camp in Eager, Arizona, the Grand View camp out there, and I just turned to John. I said, John, there were times when you were growing up. You're grown now, but I need to ask your forgiveness for some things I said and the way I said it. I said, son, is there anything else that Dad needs to ask forgiveness for? God had laid this verse of Scripture about forgiveness on my heart, and I wanted to do that with my children and sometimes with my grandchildren. Who do you need to ask forgiveness for? Luke chapter 17 in your Bible. Luke chapter 17. Beginning in verse 3, Jesus is speaking in Luke 17. He said, take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. In other words, there is a place for godly confrontation. Rebuke him. And if he repent, what should we do? Forgive him. And if he stopped right there, you'd say, Jesus, I know what you're saying. But notice what he says in verse 4. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, what are we to do? Thou shalt forgive him. I mean, you say, well, what I want to see is I want to see a bunch of change in his life. How many times, how many hours would you have to watch a bunch of change every time he says, I repent, if he's doing it 7 times in a day, and especially if he's doing the same offense 7 times in a day? Jesus said, if you repent, forgive him. The disciples heard that, and notice what they said, the apostles in verse 5. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. We're going to need increased faith if we're going to operate in this kind of living. But in kingdom living, down here. We're looking forward to the kingdom up there, by the way, and in His establishing a kingdom here in the millennial reign. But you and I, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what He said. If somebody trespasses against you and repents, forgive them. Forgive them. True forgiveness comes with confession and repentance. The thing about Charlie Kirk's wife, Erica, forgiving, or Emmanuel AME Church, those some folks didn't ask any forgiveness. But we ought to lean toward forgiveness, and if somebody confesses and repents, we're to forgive. You say, well, preacher, what I'm doing, I got some people that I've been at odds with, could be family members, could be church members, could be co-workers, schoolmates. But what I'm doing, I'm waiting for them to come to me. I've even heard people make this statement, preacher, I could never forgive that person. I can't find that in the Bible, by the way. You ask, well, whose move is it? Am I waiting for them to come to me, or am I to go to them? The answer, yes. Matthew 18, verse 15 says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go. You go. Tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he hear thee, if you've reconciled and had forgiveness, if he hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. In Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, where we read a while ago about the Lord's Prayer, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24, he says, Jesus speaking again, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar. Go thy way, and first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. And what I have taught for these 42 years that I've been a pastor, and actually learned more in the latter part of my ministry, is that it's always our move. I'm not going to wait for them to move. They might say, well, he won't listen anyway. We're not responsible for their response. We're responsible for our obedience and seeking forgiveness. Romans chapter 12 and verse 18 says, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. That verse lets me know that some folks are harder to live with than others are. I didn't hear an amen on that. Sometimes the hard one to live with is us. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. If we hold on to anger, unwilling to forgive, it stews up inside of us. And as I mentioned in the Sunday school hour, we're supposed to let not the sun go down upon our wrath. Get it settled before we go to bed at night. Keep short accounts. For it goes to bed angry, but it wakes up the next morning in bitterness. In bitterness. Hebrews 12:15. Beware lest any root of bitterness spring up in you, and thereby many be defiled. The most dangerous word in that verse is the word many. It doesn't just affect me. If I'm unwilling to forgive, it affects the people around me. Someone has said bitterness is the poison you drink, hoping the other person who won't forgive drops dead. We're over here with chains on us, and we're stewing over something that we haven't been willing to seek forgiveness for, or they haven't been willing to seek forgiveness. They're doing fine over there. We're chained down over here. Martin Luther said, forgiveness is God's command. It's not a suggestion. It's God's command. D.L. Moody said, the voice of sin is very loud, but the voice of your forgiveness is much louder. It shows the world that we want to operate under Jesus' orders. I love the movie, The Hiding Place. Any of you seen it before? About Corrie Ten Boom, her sister Betsy and family. Corrie Ten Boom was from Holland, the Netherlands. They were hiding Jews during World War II from Nazi Germany, from the Germans. They took her father, took Corrie Ten Boom, her sister Betsy. A few years, she was released on what was called clerical errors. Betsy, her sister, died in the concentration camp. A few years after Corrie Ten Boom was released, she was speaking on the subject of forgiveness. In the meeting, after it was over, people were starting to leave, and a man approached her. This would only have been a couple of years after she got out of Ravensbrück concentration camp. She recognized this man. He was one of the Nazi guards that was in that concentration camp with the women. He came to her, and she was speaking on this same subject of forgiveness, and he said, I liked your talk. He said, Jesus has washed my sins away. And he reached out his hand to shake her hand. She said, I paused. I can't do this. That man was the guard at the shower where we took showers in that concentration camp. Guards had abused the women in that concentration camp. My sister, Betsy, died in that concentration camp. This man tells me Jesus has washed his sins away and he's reaching out his hand for forgiveness to me. She said, if you read the account, she said, I can't forgive him. But then she prayed, Lord, give me your forgiveness so I can forgive him. And she reached out her hand to grasp his hand. She said, I had been held with chains. She said, forgiveness is setting the prisoner free, only to find out that the prisoner is me. She said, there was a peace that came over me, that I was obeying Jesus when I forgave that guard from the concentration camp. True forgiveness comes only by the grace of God. The day that we are willing to forgive, and over and over and over, a lifestyle of forgiveness, our chains can be broken. In 1971, I was saved in my dorm room at Clemson. New F, room 452. They've torn that dorm down, didn't even ask me about it. That summer, I came to Atlanta, not far from here, with a ministry called the Navigators, and we had rented the ATO house at Georgia Tech. Had a summer training program. There were a lot of adult counselors that were involved. Boys on the top floor, girls on the bottom floor. We It was called GAS, Grow and Save. We said the food they fed us, it was Grow and Starve. But anyway, we worked during the day. I got a job in Alpharetta, not too far from here, as a brick mason's helper. Knew then, after I worked that whole summer as a brick mason's helper, I wanted to go back and be a civil engineer for sure. But we learned verses of Scripture. We took a little memory packs called the Topical Memory System. And we learned verses of Scripture, and we were taking those little packs with us, riding the MARTA buses in Atlanta and spending the whole summer, We stayed in a first before we got on the campus at Georgia Tech. And we were going in. Back then you could knock on doors, and we were knocking on doors telling young men about the gospel of Jesus Christ at Georgia Tech. But we were staying in a boarding house at 11th Street and Peachtree. 10th and Peachtree was the Haight-Ashbury of the East. So we're one block off of that area. And here we were carrying these little verse cards. And one of those verses that we learned that summer is Acts chapter 24 and verse 16, where Paul said, "And herein do I exercise myself to always have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." He said, I work at it. Exercise sounds like work to me. I work at keeping my conscience clear before my God. We call it keeping short accounts. That's the 1 John 1:9. But Paul said, not only do I keep short accounts in this direction, but he said, also toward men. That means we need to be willing to say, I'm sorry. Need to be willing to not only ask for forgiveness, but be willing to give forgiveness. I want to keep short accounts. I don't want anything to fester between me and other folks. I mean, I've been a pastor. Brother Brinson knows this. I mean, we usually open our mouth to change feet. We've all often said a bunch of stuff that we wish we hadn't said, stuff we've had to apologize for, whether in a public meeting, or a meeting in a church, or at the pulpit. But we need to be willing to be men and women who say, I'm sorry, I was wrong, I apologize here. I'm asking for your forgiveness. Peter in Matthew chapter 18 asked the Lord, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Until seven times? What a shock he must have received when Jesus said, not until seven times, but until 70 times seven. There's nothing magical about 490. The number seven is the number for completeness. Just as many times as it happens, you and I ought to lean forward toward forgiveness. Would we be willing today to say, God, I know there's some people I need to get right with. Home, children, grandchildren, boss, spouse, parents, grandparents, teacher, coach, pastor, youth pastor, uncle, teammate, and be willing to grant forgiveness to somebody who has hurt you deeply, that may even not be alive today. So how can I do that? I mean, I can't talk to him anymore. You can do like Erica Kirk or Jesus on the cross or Stephen. You can say, look, Lord, I'm willing to forgive. I'm leaning forward toward forgiveness. I don't want these chains to hold me anymore. For you and I today, from what the Scriptures teaches, you and I are to forgive. as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. Every time I preach on this subject, and I've preached on it often. I preached in Bible college on this subject. For there, if you preach on prayer, everybody needs to pray, including the preacher. If you preach on forgiveness, there's everybody needs to forgive somebody to either seek it or give forgiveness, including the preacher. What we need to say today is, Lord, I'm willing to obey you. If you're here today and you say, preacher, I don't know Jesus as my Savior. I'm not 100% sure if I died today that I'd go to heaven. You can know today. You could do as I did in that dorm room at Clemson, January 29th, 1971. You could say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. And I believe that Jesus died for me and rose again. And right now, the best I know how, I ask Jesus to be my Savior, to save me from my sin. That night, I didn't see any angels or stars or lightning. But I knew that on the basis of the truth of this book, that night, Jesus saved me. He came into my life. Never knew I'd be a preacher. Graduated from college, worked 5 years in civil engineering work before the Lord called me to preach. But I can tell you this. He started a work. He's still working on me today. He's not finished yet. But one of the areas that God has convicted me of over and over and over again is my need to seek forgiveness and my need to give forgiveness. Let's bow for prayer.